The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Theologian Thomas Long, in his book entitled What Shall We Say, tells the story of a pastor friend of his who received a phone call one day while he was at church. One of his staff members had been out walking the dog, and he had been stabbed and mugged. He was rushed to the hospital, and there was virtually no chance that he would survive. The staff members at the church gathered quickly together for a prayer circle in the chapel. Knowing that death was almost certain, the staff raised prayers for God to be present, for guidance and discernment for the doctors who were treating him, for comfort and for peace. Sincere, honest prayers. The custodian of the church, who was also in the prayer circle, wrestled with God, shouted at God, anguished with God. He jabbed his finger in the air and he shouted, "You've got to save him. You can't let him die. Don't you care? Save him, Lord." It was as if the custodian had grabbed God by the lapels and refused to turn God loose until God came in with healing wings and saved this man. It was a demand, a deep desire and a longing hunger for God to be just and loving and present, for God to protect the good and the righteous, keep them safe, make them whole. In our Old Testament lesson, Job demanded that God explain why all the horrible things were happening to him. He was a righteous man, and he loved and he served God. He'd lost now 10 of his children, his land, his wealth, his possessions, and now his health. Job, the majority of the ancient Near Eastern world at the time, and many of us today too, believe that good things happen to good people. If you follow the rules, believe in God, love your family, serve the poor, watch your language, then God will give you good things. We deserve good things, right? Because we've been good, right? What's the point of being good if good things don't happen? In contrast, though, if you sin and disobey God's commandments, you deserve all the wrath that's coming your way. Isn't this how we attempt to make sense of the chaos of our world? Although this kind of moral framework that's focused on right and wrong had always worked for Job, it now broke down. Job hadn't sinned or disobeyed God, but his world fell apart and he was suffering. Things weren't happening the way they were supposed to be happening. His life didn't make sense anymore, and he didn't understand God. In the chaos of his life, Job shouts a demand for God a few verses earlier than we started today. And that demand was, "Let the Almighty answer me." Job becomes like the custodian in the prayer circle, wrestling with God, demanding that God be put on trial for all the bad that has happened to him. The disciples in our gospel lesson from Mark today go with Jesus into the boat and they head to the other side. They've been good disciples. They've left their homes and their families to follow Jesus. And now they're doing what Jesus asked them to do, even though it might have seemed foolish. Storms came up at night. And sure enough, their boat is caught in a storm. Water's pouring into the boat. They think they're going to sink. They think that they're going to die. And they too, like the custodian in the prayer circle, demands that Jesus take notice. They shout, "Why are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're going to die?" When life isn't fair, when our understanding of justice is broken, when we are afraid, do we ever, can we ever demand an accounting from God? I have. My mom died of brain cancer when I was 26. She never experienced the love that Alan and I have for each other, never met any of our children, never saw me become a pastor. Why, Lord? Don't you care? Can we, do we demand an accounting from God when children are shot dead in our schools? When a woman on a business trip is sucked out the window of an airplane? When young black men are shot dead on our streets? When those we love are rejected from churches and communities because of who they love? When children are separated from their parents at the border? When volcanoes erupt, floods ravage, tornadoes destroy houses and lives? When our marriages fall apart, when we lose our jobs and can't pay the bills? Tom Long also tells the story of an oncologist who claims that when he dies, he is going to go immediately into the throne room of God with a cancer cell on the palm of his hand and shout as loud as he can, "Why, Lord? Don't you care?" Theologian Walter Brueggemann claims that we have lost our ability to demand an accounting from God. We think we should only go to God with praise and thanksgiving. We think we are to cover up our anguish and our fear and our anger. Brueggemann believes that when we lose the ability to go to God with our anguish, when we remain silent about situations which are intolerable, it is as if we don't expect God to risk being in a relationship with us or do anything to help us. But what happens when we do demand an accounting from God? Job demanded justice from God. He wanted an explanation and an accounting of why, when he had been so good, had so many bad things happened in his life. Job's question was about justice. God responds, but God doesn't answer the question. Instead, in our brief 11 verses today, and then for the next four chapters in Job, read them sometime, they're amazing. God tells Job that his world and his thought processes are too small. The cosmos is far bigger and far stranger and far more mysterious than we can possibly imagine. Job doesn't understand the greatness of God. God's mysteries are beyond human comprehension. The world is not ours, but it's God's. Job was speechless. But Job was not alone. When the disciples in the sinking boat demand an accounting from God, Jesus orders the wind to die down. He shouts, "Peace, be still." And it is. As the seas calm, the disciples are filled with great awe at the power of Jesus. They have seen and heard the power of God who can tame and control the chaos of the deep. Just like Job, though, the disciples can't fathom the greatness of God. The mystery of who Jesus is still eludes them, and they become speechless. But they, too, are never alone. I, too, demanded an accounting from God. Sometimes I joke and say that I wish God would drop a brick on my head. A brick that's inscribed with the answer to whatever question I happen to be asking. I've never gotten that brick. Instead, God has become my pest. God won't leave my life. God pulled me in tight. God won't let me go. I was not and am never alone. God didn't share with Job that he had a deal with Satan. The disciples never knew why Jesus called them to the other side that night. The custodian never knew why his fellow staff member was attacked while jogging. I'll never know why my mom died. At some point in my own struggles, just like Job, God, through prayer, helped me understand that my relationship with God, my trust in God, God's presence in my life is more important than the answers that I looked for. Even if I somehow knew why things happened the way they did, my greater need was to know that God had not abandoned me. That God still cared for me. That God still loved me. God promises to be with all of us in the storm, in the unexplainable, in the chaos that is part of God's good creation. The chaos will always be there. But God extends his arms wide over the chaos and says, "Peace, be still." God is with us. That is enough.